Heavenly Father, just thank you for this time right now. We just give you thanks and praise that you're a God who loves us with an everlasting love, and underneath are your everlasting arms. Thank you so much for these hearts here that are willing to learn to hide your word in their hearts so they might not sin against you, as it says in the Psalms. We just give you thanks that we are able to, as Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you produce much fruit. Thank you so much for our salvation. Thank you for our eternal life in Christ. Thank you so much that we have this great gift of salvation, but far more than that, we're able to take it from our lips to other people's ears, and that they might also be with us, with you, our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for this time now. Bless our time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm a storyteller. I tell stories to little kids. I tell story to teenagers. I tell story to adults. I work at a school with about 325 kids. I'm a custodian at a school right now, and they call me Mr. Steve. So the kids even invite me into their classrooms, and they have me read stories because I've told the teachers I'll read stories. And I was reading a story one time to the little first graders, and what I want to preface everything before I just start here is that I talked to a number of people when I first came in here, and so I got a bad memory and yada, yada, yada. There was a little 9-year-old girl in one of the Scripture Memory Fellowship newsletters, and she said, when asked what her memory was, she says, "My memory is what I forget with." So that's probably for all of us. I can remember things from the Gospel of John, but I'll forget where I put my keys, so I have to depend upon my wife for that. So that being said, when I read these stories to the little kids, about 48 hours later, I come there and they give me a little brown packet. And they've got all these little stories that they presented back to me. "Dear Mr. Steve, thank you for coming to our room today. You were a very good storyteller. I hope you come again." And they've got all these little pictures of all these little rainbow things coming up there like that. And then this other side here, he just decided to do everything in black and white. He says, "Dear Mr. Steve, thank you for coming to our room today. The stories, not stories, but stories, first graders now, were great, and you're sorry. Oh, and the pictures, they were great too. And then, thank you for coming to our room. You told some good stories, like the George Washington story." And then this one. Here's one of my favorites. "Dear Mr. Steve, thank you for coming to our room. I really like your stories that you read to us. I really, really appreciate it so much. Thank you." And look at all these imaginative things. You got the birds flying and all this kind of stuff. My subtitle today is, sure, we have how to memorize scripture, but what I started out with is, if I could have a subtitle, is how to become a kid again. In a sense, adults, we've lost our imagination, we've lost that little kidness, and I hope by the time you walk out of here today, you're going to find a little bit of the inside scoop of how I memorize scripture, and I can only do some broad brush strokes because I could probably do something a little more extensive, but I have to shove it down into about 45 minutes. So bear with me with another story. I like to sit on chairs like this and tell stories. And I'm going to tell a story from the Gospel of John, chapter 9. The blind man. This was at the Feast of Tabernacles. Jesus had just gotten done saying to the Judeans there that he said, before Abraham was, I am. It says, therefore, they picked up stones to throw at him. Jesus hid himself, went out of the temple courts, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. And here's where John chapter 9 starts. Now, as Jesus was passing by, he saw a man who had been blind from birth. And his disciples questioned him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Well, neither this man sinned nor his parents, Jesus replied. But this came about so that God's works might be made perfect in him, so that God's works might be displayed in him. I must do the works of the one who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when nobody can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. After he said these things, he spat on the ground, made clay from the saliva, and spread the clay on the blind man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." So he went and washed. And came back seeing. Then the neighbors and those who had seen him formerly, that he was blind, said, is this the man who sat begging? And others said, no, he's the one. He said, then the neighbors and those who had seen him formerly said, isn't this the man who sat begging? Others said, no, it's him. And others said, nah, it looks like him. Therefore, he said, I'm the one! I'm the one! And therefore, they said to him, how did it happen that your eyes were opened? He answered and said, a man named Jesus made clay, spread it on my eyes and told me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went and washed and came back seeing. Then they said to him, where is he? He answered them, I don't know. They brought the man who was formerly blind to the Pharisees. Now it was the Sabbath when Jesus made clay and opened his eyes. So once again, the Pharisees also asked him how he received his sight. He said, he put clay on my eyes. I washed and I see. Then some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God because he doesn't keep the Sabbath. Others said, how can a sinful man perform such miraculous signs? So there was a division among them. Then they said to him, what do you say about him, since he opened your eyes? He's a prophet. But the Judeans did not believe concerning him that he was blind and received sight until they summoned the parents of the one who had received his sight. So they asked them, is this your son whom you say was born blind? So, how is it that he can now see? And his parents answered him, and his parents answered them, we know this is our son and that he was born blind, but how it is that he can now see, we don't know. And who opened his eyes? We don't know. He is of age. Ask him. His parents said these things because they feared the Judeans. For the leaders had already decided that if anyone confessed him to be the Christ, they would be barred from the synagogue. For this reason, his parents said, he is of age. Ask him. So a second time they summoned the man who had been born blind and said, give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered them, whether or not he's a sinner, I don't know. One thing I do know, though I was blind, now I see. Then they asked him again, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? I already told you, he answered them, and you didn't listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Oh, you don't want to become his disciples too, do you? They reviled him, saying, you are that fellow's disciple. But we are Moses' disciple. We know that Moses has spoken to us, but this fellow, we don't know where he's from. This is a remarkable thing, the man answered them. You don't know where he is from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God doesn't listen to sinners, but if anyone is God-fearing and does his will, he listens to him. If this man were not from God, he wouldn't be able to do anything. In reply, they said to him, you are totally born in sin. And are you trying to teach us? So they threw him out. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out. So Jesus found him and said, do you believe in the Son of God? He answered him, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said, "You have both seen him, and he is the one who is speaking to you." The man answered him, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. John chapter 9. You know how you look, sometimes at a finished product, first at IKEA, and you see how it's all put together, and then you know that when you get the box back at home, at least you had a picture in your mind of how it went together at the store. At least you saw a picture of it, so it's helpful. So in the same way, what I'm doing right here now is I'm just showing you something on the far end. And I know you said you kind of do a little dramatic presentations with your husband. But what I'm suggesting is, when I started this presentation idea with Bob Wilkin, we had talked about my encouragement, first of all, is for people, for us alone and singularly for our own selves, perhaps for our family, is to memorize Scripture on our own, hide the Word of God in our heart that we might not sin against Him. And that could be verses, but also verses that are 4, 5, 6 verses in a particular context, perhaps go after chapters, perhaps go after a whole book, but really do it to allow God to bless you within a context and have even a bigger context perhaps to memorize, so that when you're actually meditating on that, or you're driving in the car, you wake up in the morning, that blesses you kind of thing. You know, "I meditate on you in the night watches," I think David said. And then you can also bless others with that. And you pick out verses that relate to evangelism. You pick out verses that relate to comfort, everything under the sun kind of thing. And maybe like my friend David back in Minnesota, every time he buys a tool for his car, he buys it when he needs it. He doesn't buy a whole tool chest and then bring it into the house and then wonder what he's going to do with all the tools. So if we need a verse on comfort, go get it and memorize it. If you need a verse on something else, go get that tool for a living and hide it in your heart kind of thing. And you don't have to do it necessarily in a willy-nilly way. I'm just going to present a few things here today, just some kind of theme that goes through Scripture, because I'm trying to stir up your sincere heart by way of, not necessarily a reminder, because maybe we haven't thought this way, but more along the lines of certain things that show up in Scripture that I think may give us some insight and maybe some encouragement to how we might memorize Scripture and have it a little easier than what we're used to. And if you look at this paper right here, I'll just start with this here. You look over on the right side in the middle where I have the word multisensory down. Multisensory, of course, is when my wife and I were doing homeschooling, we taught a particular English program where we spoke to our kids, like, you know, vowels in group A, E, O, vowels in group A, E, I, O, vowels in group A, E, I, U, say A, E, I, O, U at the end of a syllable or whatever. I'm getting it mixed up right now. But I say vowels in group A, E, I, O, U, whatever, and then my sons would repeat it back. I'd say the next part of the phrase, they'd repeat it back. I say the next part of the phrase, and I repeat it back. And we do everything in unison like that. And then later on, as we do the multisensory thing, I say it, it goes into their ears. Then they say it, it goes into their ears. And then they write down, let's say in the case when they're doing their alphabet and things like that, they would write down what they just said, and then they would see what they just wrote, and they would say what they just wrote, and they would hear what they just said when they just wrote what they wrote. Sounds like you last night. But the idea is anything with multisensory, and I've been reading a lot on that lately, and a lot of the research that's been done is that, in just a secular sense, that anything that you can add for, in the case it was vocabulary, learning vocabulary. If you can just add one gesture to a vocabulary word, like, for example, if you have the word, like, I was having fun with Kenny yesterday, and these guys are from Starksville. And I said, "Oh, you're from Strongville." And you said, "You're from Starksville." And I said, "No, you're from Strongsville." And you didn't get it, and I was having a little fun with you. And Stark means strong in German. So if I'm learning the German word strong, and it's Stark, I might just think of, you know, somebody that's, you know, like, I might think of somebody who's really strong, like a muscle man or something like that. And I see a little weakling over here, and I go, boy, That's a stark contrast or whatever. But I might just go, strong! Ooh, stark. You know, I might just go, stark, or something like that. But even a simple gesture that goes with it, they have found out that the vocabulary ability increases exponentially. And I'm going to suggest here today that I'm going to add some things to your toolbox for as far as possibilities. I'm only going to give broad brushstrokes, but I'm going to go along the track here. But this multisensory thing, look at the thing right there. On the left-hand side, you see where it says listen, listen, speak, read, write. That's what I'm going to suggest is a reasonable way of doing things, where most people who do memorization do it the opposite way. They write something down on a 3x5 card, they read it, and then they speak it out, and then they listen to what they spoke out, and they say it, and they say it, and they say it over again. But I'm trying to appeal to the story in us in the sense that we look at, what, 60, 65% of the scripture is either poetry or narrative or whatever the case might be. And when you have that much narrative and that much story, it would seem that in an oral society like the Hebrews were, like the Jews were, 65% of our whole world is still an oral culture. And even though some people can read and write, they don't know how to necessarily take that to the next level. But the idea is we are wired for story. And then the other thing the researchers were saying is that we are also more, quote-unquote, multisensory than they ever thought before. That if you add something with your hands, you add something with your feet, you add something with your voice, you add something where it goes, that voice goes in your ear, maybe you shake your head, whatever the case, you imagine something, you know, something to embellish something, an association or whatever, the more things that you can do, the more it's going to enhance, as opposed to, let's say, taking your 3x5 card. We've all been there, done that. Write it down. In the beginning was the Word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, in the beginning was the Word, in the beginning. And you go through that, and it's no discredit to any of us, because that's where most of us think that we can need to learn. So when I say about the little kid part here, this right here, when we look at this, how to memorize scripture, become a kid again, I mentioned those things about do it for yourself, others' encouragement to glorify the Father for love's sake. When we have verses floating around in us, we can certainly apply those on the fly, so to speak. We have two ears, one mouth, two eyes. Scripture says, I think it's in Matthew 11, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. There's two kinds of hearing, the kind we hear this way, and there's also hearing spiritually, as we know. The mouth speaks of that which fills the heart, Jesus said. So there's two kinds of speaking. We can speak like I'm speaking a verse like I did with John, and I can also, you know, speak something that comes out that actually comes from, you know, some spiritual learning, whatever the case might be. And I think that in that case, you know, that Jesus said the mouth speaks of that which fills the heart, and if there's nothing in there to come out spiritually, it's going to come out kind of like James says, you know, where it's the mouth is the tongue is a fire. And then it says an interesting verse. It's in just in Numbers. I'm not going to get into the context, but it says the utterance, the mouth of a man whose eyes are opened, and the utterance of him who hears. And then the reason I put ears right there is my whole life I didn't make the connection that ears was actually in the word hears. It's a simple discovery. It's like, oh, I was talking about that, and there it is. And then here Job, interesting verse, he says, I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. The scripture says in John, no one has ever seen God, the only begotten Son who is nearest to the Father's heart. He has made him known. So how can Job see him? If he can see God in some new way, especially at the end of Job, where he goes through all of his trials and he says, now my eyes see you, I repent in sackcloth and ashes, and he learns some things, whatever. We are seeing that somehow we can be taught things in our inner man that the scripture talks about that theme. Okay, listening. You has ears to hear, let him hear. It is not he who has a pencil or pen, let him write. Not a bad thing. It is not he who has a computer, let him compute. Not a bad thing. It is not he who has a lot of books, let him read. That's not a bad thing. But my point is, here again, there's that Job passage. Why do we stop at ears, mouth, and eyes? We are very multisensory in our beings. Listen to the negative side of 115. Psalm 115 talks about people having idols of silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. And continuing, they have noses, they don't smell. They have hands, but they don't handle. Feet they have, but they do not walk. What's the good of them? And they're just idols. But let's just reverse that around for ourselves. God is getting pretty multisensory there. So, David says in Psalm 139, I'll praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. So we have hearing with our ears and our mouth, speech, our eyes, seeing, our nose, smelling, grasping and hugging and walking and climbing for our feet and on and on. But the thing I want to say here is that God has made us and wired us for story. I really believe that. But we have somehow short, especially us Americans, in a print media culture as opposed to an oral culture where they've got kind of like the old Boss Hogg. Remember, what was that? What was the name of that show? Dukes of Hazzard. Says, you got your ears on, you know. But in oral culture, they've got their ears on because they're not doing things with typing and writing and things like that. So we as a culture need to put our ears on a little bit more. And I'm going to show you a few things that maybe might help that. Our ability to remember so many things on a day-to-day basis. You say, I don't have a very good memory. You remember how to get to this room. You remember how to get back to your room to go to sleep and come back here. You got on the plane. You remembered how to go through that whole process. We remember so many things. But I think when it comes to memorization of Scripture, am I correct? Some of you people are so memorized out from vacation Bible school and all those things, it's just like it was a chore and it became very difficult. Is that a fair statement or some of that? I didn't become a Christian until I was 20 years old, so I didn't memorize one Bible verse. So that, our ability by faith to do things which would be impossible without faith, our ability to learn a lesson in a before sense so we don't have to learn it in an after sense, and our ability to believe in Jesus though dead. This is my last verse here, Ezekiel 40, verse 4. God's talking to Ezekiel. And then he talks about, I took him away to a high mountain and he showed him all these things. And the man said to me, son of man, look with your eyes and hear with your ears and fix your mind on everything I show you. For you were brought here so that I might show them to you. Declare to the house of Israel everything you see. He was brought in a vision to go see all this. But I'm going to say that we have the ability within ourselves to see things in our mind's eye. And I'm going to hopefully connect with a few of those things so that we can fix our mind and everything I show you or talk to you about in some of these things right there. So anyways, that being said, I'm going to push this up here. Anyways, here. I got to turn this off. What am I not doing right here?
I just pressed a button. There was in the room that I was in yesterday. On a wall. I see it again, whatever it is.
Okay, there we go. Thank you. Okay, so I would say like this, for as far as back to the basics. There's a book here. It's by a Tony Noyce and a Helga Noyce. Tony was a professional actor who became a psychologist, if I'm understanding the story correctly, and his wife was already a psychologist. And he brought in a whole number of people prior to 1997 when this book was written, and he was trying to find out how actors were able to memorize their lines. So he kind of took it in that vein. But then when he went to all these people and had them write down their daily routine, he found out that most of them did not memorize. They took their script, and they listened to it, they put it on tape, they listened to it again and again so that they could just relax and listen and sort of hear the story, kind of like little kids just listening and hearing the story. And then they would observe different things as they would listen, like, oh, you know, Bill is trying to, Johnny to go over and get the car fixed because he doesn't want to do it because he wants to go with his girlfriend and that's going to cause a conflict and all this stuff. And they call it looking at from the, I've never been in acting before, but something they do, they observe the beats or whatever the case might be. But anyways, they did this whole extensive study and most of them came back saying that they really don't even think about memorizing. They go and observed their text. They listen with their ears. They observe things on the page. They listen. They break it down. They study it in the sense of asking questions of it. They labor over it like so many of these pastors here and seminary professors who labor over the text. And some of these pastors and seminary professors here, they know the text so well because they've labored over it that they have it basically memorized because they've wedded themselves to that particular stuff. So anyways, that being said, and then the science right here says the power of story, the science behind the startling power of story. They have all this research. And then, you know, things like keeping memory. You have memory books where this goes back to the 1600s where they studied how people memorize things and stuff like that. But the main thing is I'm going to focus on right here I'm a very unorthodox person here, so I've got these big sets of notes here. But look at your where's my there was one here last night when I came in here. So when I have this thing like right here, when I have listening right here, and I have this across like imagining, okay? And then I go across like this, and then I have say it, say after, and then I have in unison, and then I just have something that's I'm just going to say near right now. But the idea is that if we can take a portion of Scripture that we're trying to memorize, let's say we're trying to memorize the book of Ephesians, go get one of those MP3 players or get something where you download and things like that, where you listen to the whole book and put it in context and listen to it again and then stop it and listen to it, reflect on it. But then the other thing is, one thing that I say is listening. That's the thing that I'm saying that's so very important. These people who are the professional actors, they listen and they break it down so much that the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made both of them. And somehow, if we can take maybe a clue that a lot of the things that God wants us to learn are coming through this wonderful instrument, the ear gate right here, and if we're fearfully and wonderfully made and our soul knows it very well, there's something about when we hear something and we speak it out of our mouth and we pronounce it, so to speak, it goes right back in our own ears again. And years ago when I was doing homeschooling, one of the expressions that somebody taught me is that some research that was done is a person learns best by the sound of their own voice. So if you record something on your own personal recorder, on your phone or whatever, and get your whole chapter in there, like for example, I was doing something the other day where I was getting all these things down. I was recording at the moment. I was doing chapter 16 of the Gospel of John. And I recorded it first and foremost in the listening sense. The first thing I did is record it in just full mode. I looked it over, read it over, and I just read, for as far as just reading it once through without stopping, just like you would read it normally. The next time I read it slower, so that if I'm trying to do something, let's say, later on in unison with it or whatever, like, hey, and then later on I made a third copy where I would say, like, so when Jesus had said these things, he went out across the Kedron Ravine where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. And then I would just let my voice trail like that. So when Jesus had said these things, he went out with his disciples across the Kedron Ravine where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. In other words, I left a space in there so that when I'm going over it later on, I can do the things in unison just like I did with my kids. And I find that that's one of the things for listening. You can listen to the thing in whole. You can listen to the thing where you slow it down. Because later on when you're listening to it, there's three things. Is that you can say it after, like it says, like in the beginning of the word. Okay, I'll say in the beginning was the word and you respond after me. In the beginning was the word.
In the beginning was the word.
And the word was with God.
And the word was with God.
And the word was God.
And the word was God.
He was in the beginning with God.
All things were made through him.
And apart from him, not one thing was made
that has been made.
This is where our problem is. We have this stuff floating in the air and we don't know how to nail it down. It's just like a hot air balloon that you snip and it's just floating away. When you listen, this is what I'm encouraging you to do. Just listen, be a kid and just listen. Just listen. Don't be thinking about, oh, I've got to memorize this and, oh, this is really going to be hard. Just listen. Even if you have to listen to, I hear people that take the scriptures and they say, read that same passage every day for 30 days. And some pastors would do that. Though if they're going to be teaching on the book of Ezekiel, they read the entire book of Ezekiel every day for 30 days, even before they begin to check into it. Don't discount that. If God has given us some ears to hear, and just listen to it and relax and enjoy it. Don't get so overworked up that you got to memorize it yet. Maybe there's only one chapter in Ephesians you want to do. Listen to the whole thing. We keep hearing that from John all the time about context, 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 and if you know the whole thing. But when you're listening, start to do some imagining. And that's what you're going to do, which is hard. Little kids can imagine and they can write all those little birds on there and they can think of all those things like that. We have to just pray and ask God to help us to get sort of our imagination back again. But here is the thing, as I'm listening to those things, I'm listening to my phone. And as I'm listening to something new, when I was doing chapter 18, I was trying to get that down. And I would, let's just do chapter 16, because that's what I was just talking about. When I hear chapter 16, here's the crux point right here. Right here. You first listen to it maybe 20 times or whatever, and then you imagine as far as you can go. You might imagine, you know, you're listening to a story about somebody who went to, into the woods, and there was a cabin back there, and somebody had a beautiful garden back there, and somebody invited you in to, have a nice meal, and it turned out it was your Uncle Bill back there that had some veggies for you, and he made a good meal for you, whatever. But when you're listening to the story, here is the thing that I tell people. I call it this. English, the first thing that pops into your mind, and I want you to do, think of reality. Say that. English? First thing that pops into your mind? Reality. So if I said houseboat, John, if I said houseboat, don't just think of a houseboat, but think of a particular houseboat in a particular faith. The first thing that comes in your mind. Do you have a place where you think about a houseboat? Okay. If I say hair salon, can you think of a hair salon right like that? And can you picture it in your mind? Can you picture where the chairs are? Can you walk in and can you literally walk in your mind and go and sit in the chair? And you can walk in and go back to get some magazines. You can see all the thing. This is the thing about being a kid. This is one of the biggest things. If I don't do a whole lot here, but the thing is, little kids, the thing that says, are you smarter than a fifth grader? Remember that show that was on TV? I encourage you to be as smart as a first grader. I work at the school, and every single year, the teachers do this. They have the kids take that little graph paper like this, and they have the kids draw their room. Like you take the cover off the room, you look down at the room like that. And the kid, draws their bed like this, and, they draw their dresser, and they draw their hand, and they draw their little doggy that's sitting on there, and they, draw their chest of drawers, and, this is where they put their computer, and that's the door right over here, and they draw it. And they get so into it, and they color it and everything. A little kid can make their own room. You know about your own salon. You remember the house you grew up in? Now, I'm going to ask you. Go out of your bedroom. Go out the front door. And go to your garage. Back out the car. And drive one block to the south. Well, drive whichever direction you want to drive. But my point is this. If you can think of a salon, and if you can think of, let's say, when you were growing up as a kid, your corner grocery store. Can you imagine yourself walking to your corner grocery store, and you're walking in the front door, and you probably, like I did, you head to the candy counter first, and you stick your nose on there, and look at those little red hot dollars and whatever like that, and maybe you have to get some milk from your mom. You can remember where you go back for the milk. We already have in our memories every memory that we already have. We can pick any town, any city. John chapter 1 is at the Metropolitan Stadium where the Minnesota Twins played baseball. I worked for the Minnesota Twins for about 6 or 7 years as a manager. Hey, hot dogs! Hey, Coke! Coke here! John chapter 1 is in right field because just like with the salon or just like with your home, I have out in the place out here, I have in the beginning was the Word and the Word was with God. And wherever you are at, John chapter 16 is in St. Paul, and it's this big park that goes down to the Mississippi River. And I don't remember even totally how it looks, but I have all of my thoughts in chapter 16 attached onto the road there and across the ravine and down like that. And this is how you do it. And I'll say this last thing here. If you're just listening things, and you're listening to the whole thing, for example, and then you imagine in your mind as far as you can go. But here's the crux point right here. When you're doing this imagining, think, where does this story that I'm listening to, or this biblical story, or I'm listening to Joshua, or whatever, when Joshua opens up and, you know, says, you know, you should be prosperous and have good success, and all of a sudden you might think, oh, that success seminar I went to, and you think of where you were at the success seminar, whatever. And you think of that room, you think, the first thing that pops in your mind, that's where you're going to put that. Because if the first thing that pops in your mind, you feel comfortable with it right there. And you think about the houseboat. And if you were having a story about Winnie the Pooh, and it turned out that the first thing that says, and Winnie the Pooh went on a houseboat, and you go, first thing I thought it was houseboat. Well, that's where you put the story. And you attach the story onto the pieces, the furniture, whatever. And I'll show you that in a minute. But the thing is, when I do the tape, if you're listening to the tape, in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. That tape is saying it. What I did with you, you do it with the tape, and you fake yourself out. That person becomes the teacher, and you become the one that says it after. And then, later on, you start getting a little better, and you got your imagination, because you're starting to put your thoughts down in that very place, at that success seminar, or on the houseboat, or whatever, and you're hearing these things. Try to eventually say it in unison, while still keeping the whole story idea going in your mind. And imagining if all of a sudden, you know, Joshua, and going down into the valley, or something like that, or, you know, these... He sends a couple of spies out, and you might think of some mountain range that might be by your Uncle Jim's cabin or something like that. And pretty soon, if you say it afterwards, then you say it in unison, and then you can say it where you cheat a little bit. Not cheat, but you say it ahead. Like the tape is ready to say, in the beginning was the Word, and you beat it to it. In the beginning was the Word. Ha! In the beginning of the Word, the tape says. And the Word was with God. And the tape says, and the Word was God. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. So pretty soon, all of a sudden, you haven't even memorized anything yet, but you've gotten to the point where you are letting that listening work for you. You are doing it multisensory. You are saying what that is saying. It's going in your ears. And then at the same time, Lord willing, you're beginning to imagine some things that are in your mind. And then all of a sudden you're going to... So here's where I'm going to get a little bit silly here for just a minute here. This is when I first went and learned some memorization techniques. I went out to a place in California where there was a gentleman who had memorized the entire New Testament. And what it was, he went back to the time of Socrates and various individuals who had all these speeches and everything like that. In whatever room that you're in, I don't care if it's your house, if it's the salon, if it's the houseboat, you go in whatever it is, the front door or the door. And you come in and you're working on the left wall, and you go back along here and you work on this wall and you go back like this. I'm not going to knock this stuff over. And you put all the things that are on that wall, the pieces of furniture that are over here, all this stuff, pretend there's a bunch of furniture right here, and you come back here and you go out the door. But what they did is you've got 10 points, let's say, on a speech. The miracle of what was happening and what I do is I attach my thoughts on a piece of furniture. And I just took this and I put this on a piece of furniture. If I walk out the door, where's my computer? Oh, it's on that brown thing. I put this right here. I know my clock is right here. We know the expression, a place for everything and everything in its place. That is how I tie my balloons down. I hook them up to whatever it is that I'm seeing on the wall or here or there, or a piece of furniture or a cabinet or a telephone or whatever. So, who knows the prologue by heart? Bill does. Anybody else? No. Okay. This is kind of a silly way that he taught us to do it. I've got another level, but we'll just keep it simple right here. Okay, I'm walking in the door. First thing I say, oh, my goodness sakes. Oh, my gosh, look at that. This is a knot hole for a baseball game. I'm looking at a baseball game right here. Holy cow, look at that. They scored 6-0. It's a very big inning. Wow. And look at right in through there, there's a very big inning. So what is it? In the beginning. Oh, look at this right here. If I push this button right here, it goes... Wah, 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 wah. That's really a strange button, you know? In the beginning, wah, 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 was. Oh, did you see that little kid around here? His little 3-year-old kid that just wrote on the wall. He got in a chair right here and he wrote the word up there. Can you believe that? I'm a custodian, you know? I'm gonna have to get this thing and wipe that off right now. So we go back here and we find what? A baseball game going on and what? And is it a small inning? Oh, it's a big inning. And it's right, it's right in there, right? So what is that? In what? In the beginning. And you push this button and it goes, what? Was. So in the, what? Was. Beginning was. And what did that kid put on that wall?
Word.
In the beginning was what?
Word.
Oh my gosh. You see that? I am trying to get rid of ants, and there's an ant right behind you. Oh, man. There's an ant. I always use an ant for and in the beginning with the word, and the word in the beginning was the word and. Oh, look at right here. That kid was here again. In the beginning, what? Wah-wah was the word. And what's behind there? Ant. The word. Wah-wah-wah-wah. Was. Oh, I used to be a hot dog vendor for the Minnesota Twins. Like, hot dogs, hot dogs. Hey, who wants hot dogs? Hey, Armour hot dogs. What do you want, mustard, sir? No, I want ketchup. We don't have ketchup. I want mustard. Whatever. We never had ketchup. They always wanted ketchup, and I didn't have. Anyways, whenever I have the word with, in the beginning it was the word, and the word was, and the word was, I always use a hot dog. Because I say, do you want it with or without? And even though I do things and I create funny things like this, here is the crazy thing. In this book right here, some guy named Hugo, back in the 1600s, he was doing what I do before I did it and before I knew that he was doing it. So he stole my ideas. So anyway, some of the things that I do, I got a little bit creative. Instead of doing all these little stories like this, I started doing things where a word, like the word with, like a hot dog, like the word the. When I was a little kid, I had a little thing in a little bag, and I pushed the button. It was in the bag. And when you push the button, it would go, ah! It would make this sound. Some of you know what I'm talking about. And every time I push the button, it goes, ah, the, ha, ha, ha. That's my word for the. So if I need a word the, I don't just create it and go, the, or I don't go, the, ha, ha. I just take my little button, and I just stick it there. It could be 3 inches long, 6 inches. It could be wide and big, but I just stick a button there for the. So I do a combination between goofy things, and I do things, but here's the thing. Write this down. Left to right. I'm always going left to right. And then I'm going top to bottom. And then I'm going near to far. Left to right, top to bottom, near to far. And what I mean by that is when I'm going around here, when I'm going along, I'm trying to follow it in a very systematic fashion where I'm trying to, I could almost make a line here where I could go, in the beginning was the word, and the word, and then near to far, was, and I come back out here with, and then look at right here. Somebody nailed the Bible right up here, and on the outside of the cover, they didn't put their name, they just put the big word God. Isn't that cool? So what do we have? In the what? In the beginning was what? In the beginning, what? What was? The what? Word? And what is that right there? What's in there? What's in there? And what does that stand for? And that kid was here again, and what? Word? And what? Another one of the wow, wow, wow. What's on there? Oh, sorry. Bunch of mustard. Oh, now I got all over me now. With, and then somebody took a what and put it up here? A Bible. And it said what? God. So let's say it together. The funny way. In the, say, that's what I do with, when I do this at vacation Bible school. I would say, okay, let's say it the funny way. And then I say, next, let's do it the good way. So, in the beginning, wah, was, let's take my little the, and I'll stick a little button on there. The ha 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 word, and the ha 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 word, wah, 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 was, with God. Okay, now let's do it the good way. Now you guys do it, I'm not going to help you at all. Start it. So that's what I'm saying is that if I were to go, if I had more furniture around here, I don't. But here's the key. You can do it, Bonnie, if you all of a sudden come to a verse and it says righteousness, like some of these doctrinal passages. What do you do with righteousness? How do you find, what do you look at when you see righteousness? It's simple. Say the word 4 or 5 times. Righteousness, righteous, righteousness. Say it goofy. Right. Just nest. Right. Right. Just nest. Oh, nest. Right. Right. Just. You know what I use for righteousness? I picture a great big nest. And my friend walks up and says, what is that? I say, it's a nest. And he goes, yeah, right. And I go, yeah, it's just a nest. He goes, right. Just a nest. Sure, buddy, you know. So whenever I need a righteousness, I don't make some new thing up. I just throw one of my righteousness nests down there, you know. So let's say I've got 5,000 words from the Gospel of John. Maybe 3,500 of those words I have an attachment for where I can just pull them out of my tool chest. And like in the beginning, whenever I think of the word in, I always think of a door. And if I'm going around here in a room where there's nothing in here, but I just happen to make the association, the first thing that popped in my mind, I'll just throw a door right here. I'm not limited to the things that are in the room. I'll just throw a door down there. In, I always use a door for in. In, and then for beginning, I always use my beginning sign, like my beginning. And for was, I don't make up something like that. I can do that. You can do that where you attach your thought on here. But my thing for was is always like, you know, those guys like Louis Armstrong, you know, playing the thing, and he's got that thing that goes in there and goes, wah, 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 wah. So I always think of one of those wah, wah, wah things, you know. So in the beginning, I go through a door. But here's the thing, Bonnie, in your case with the salon, I don't even have to be there. I don't have to be in the room. But I would encourage you when you're starting out to find your room in the house, your living room, and begin to attach some of your thoughts on there and be creative and find a word that attaches and works with you. And then go to another room in your house, and pretty soon, like the rocks in the river for Joshua. Daddy, Daddy, what are those rocks in the river for? Oh, that's when we went across the... And all of these things that in Scripture and in the tabernacle and all these things that were reminding all these illiterate people of God, if we have our houses that are full of memory verses or phrases and chunks of it, isn't that a wonderful idea? And then after that, if you're done with your house, think of your neighbor's house. You don't have to always think of the first thing that pops in your mind. I'll modify that a little bit. If you just want to start in your neighbor's house and they've got five cool rooms in their house and you counted out the verses in Ephesians and you went over to their house one time and you're waiting for a cup of coffee and you go, oh, there's exactly the amount of verses as pieces of furniture in this one room right here. And this other room is perfect for Ephesians chapter 2. And oh my goodness. I hope she's not seeing me, right? And you're looking over here, perfect, perfect. And you don't always have to attach one thing onto one piece of furniture. You can do, you know, a number of things like that. But the thing is, I just showed you a funny little thing to do like that. But I'm also going to go back to the listening part again. When you're listening, and then you just listen and enjoy. And as you're listening, remember I said, the first thing that pops into your mind when you think of, let's say, you know, whatever story it is, you're learning a story from Scripture or you're just, you know, trying to learn a kid's story that you're wanting to repeat back to him or whatever. You can take that story and the first thing that pops into your mind is a location. Let's say it's the salon and you want to memorize a story or want to memorize Scripture. So then what you do is you put that on tape or you listen to it, you download it, whatever. And here's the thing. You literally listen to that tape and I go in my garage and I do this because I can walk all around. So when I walk there and I actually imagine myself, if I was in my barber or whatever, I can actually, like in the beginning was the word. Here's John 16. When Jesus had said these things, and here's the thing is, I obey myself. I obey my voice. Remember I talked about your multisensory? Here's the thing in St. Paul, if I had more room up here. When Jesus had said these things, I only walk as fast as I can. When Jesus had said these things, he went out with his disciples across the Kedron Ravine where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. And as I am doing this, I am imagining myself literally in St. Paul going down to the ravine where that is. And then I imagine where there are some stairs there. And I go up the stairs and Judas is at the top of that. And there wasn't a stairs going back down again. So I just put a stairs in. I just threw them in. You can do anything with your imagination. It's so cool. So when Jesus said these things, and here I'm doing the multisensory thing. I'm doing my feet. He went out with his disciples across the Kedron Ravine where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. And Judas, his betrayer, also knew the place because Jesus often met there with his disciples. And I got this whole picture in my mind. I'm actually walking through the park. And then here's the other way. And look at these things I got on right here. The listening in at me, that's the part. Listening is just the listen on the top. I just kind of a little thing. And then the in at me is I'm in it right now. I'm in it. I'm pretending that I'm actually in it. And as I listen to sometimes my thing for John 18 or John 16, I am literally listening to that tape and pretending I'm in that salon or I pretend that I'm actually at the place. And if all of a sudden it says, you know, and Jesus, when Jesus said these things, and I go on like this, the tape says, When Jesus had said these things, he went out with his disciples, and I'm going like this, and I'm calling my disciples, come on you guys. He went out with his disciples across the Kidron Ravine, and I pretend I'm going across this ravine that's dry, whatever. Went across the Kidron Ravine where there was a garden. I pretend there's a garden. Oh, look at those nice things right there. Oh, I think I'll have a watermelon. And I just kind of pretend like that. Then Judas, his betrayer, also knew the place. And I'm imagining myself looking down like that, and I'm finding myself getting in it. So I put myself in the very thing. The next thing is I call it lineology. Silly thing I do. But look at your verse you had. Instead of walking like this, I have my walking feet. Now I turn my finger into what I call an air pencil. That's the lineology. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. And I obey my voice. I don't go any faster than my voice. Just like my little kids when they're doing stuff with a pencil. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And I'm just, and then in the case of John 16, which I just did, here's it from that point of view. When Jesus had said these things, he went out with his disciples across the Kedron Ravine, where there was a garden. And I can't go down like that, but there was actually a ravine right there, and I actually go down where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. And I'm going up the stairs now. I can't go up the stairs, what I just showed you a second ago. Then Judas, his betrayer, also knew the place. And I go up actually on the part where I know there's a road up there. He also knew the place because Jesus often met there with disciples. Then Judas, his betrayer, also. So Judas took a detachment of soldiers and some temple police from the chief priests and Pharisees. I'm going back into a valley again. And came there with lanterns, torches, and weapons. So all of a sudden, I'm doing a tactile thing, but I'm doing it with the air, and I'm actually imagining myself as I'm right there again. That's the lineology. And then there's the other part, because I'm going from smaller to bigger. Then the next thing I do, I call it closeology, where I go like this, where I get back a little distance, and instead of looking at something like this, which I'm doing when I'm doing something like the in it me, I'm just really thinking of it there. The closeology is like, I imagine Jesus is doing the things. When Jesus had said these things, he went out with his disciples across the Kedron Ravine where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. And I'm actually thinking of this place right now. And Judas, and I see Judas, and he's actually walking up this hill. And Judas, his betrayer, also knew the place because Jesus often met there with his disciples. And I can get all the contours and go up and down, whatever like that. So I stay always like 5 to 30 feet away. Kind of thing. And if all of a sudden I have to, and sometimes, this is what I imagine myself. I imagine myself in a prison cell one day. A lot of us will be in a prison cell. I'm being serious about that. I imagine myself in a prison cell one day. We've only got like 6 by 6. So then, here's John 16 that way. When Jesus went out, after Jesus had said these things, he went out with his disciples across the Kidron Ravine where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. And Judas, his betrayer, also knew the place. Because Jesus often met with, so I find a way to do it even in smaller places. But if I have a bigger space or a bigger room, then I kind of walk it out, okay? Closeology, where I'm just looking at it from a distance, 5, 10, 15 feet away, when Jesus had said these things. And I just imagine Jesus walking with his disciples, literally. That's the part that those people in that Noise and Noise book, they literally think of it. So by the time you listen to the stuff and imagine that stuff, you've done so many things multisensory that almost this whole idea of memorization is almost poof gone. So what do you do if all of a sudden you can't remember? I'm running out of time here. What happens if all of a sudden you need a word and you can't remember how that sentence starts? Oh, in the beginning was the Word, in. And you try to look at you look at your paper and you go, oh, I can't remember that. Well, then find one of those convenient words like in. I'm going to make it a door. So all of a sudden you just take and you can even take a miniature door this big and you can slap it right there. And you can put it right there, whatever the case might be. Because sometimes you remember 80% of the verse. And you forget one or two words in the middle or in the end. Find one of your favorite things, like your righteousness, and just slap it up there. You've already 90% of the way with the ears, the hearing ear, and the seeing eye. The Lord has made both of them. And then the other thing, accuracy. Do you notice? Only now do I go down and check myself to see how I'm doing. The rest of the time, I'm just relaxing and having fun. And this is the way I do it. Look at me. In the beginning was the Word. In one line, I write it on on a notebook or whatever, indent, and the Word was with God. Next line, indent two times, and the Word was God. I'm always going one phrase, comma, next phrase, comma, next phrase, comma, and I put the period there, and I put a space in between. So when I'm checking myself and the accuracy, because I'm actually seeing it, in the beginning it was the Word. And the Word was with God. But as I'm doing it, I'm trying to think of my whole thing. And sometimes I'm actually sitting here like this, you know, trying to imagine it, or I'm like Bonnie in my mind thinking of the place like that. And give yourself a break. Don't try to be 100% perfect. We used to do this in Sunday school. We'd say, you get five dings. So if the kid, you can keep going until you get five dings. If all of a sudden you miss a word, that's one ding. Just mark it down. You go another three verses, two dings. You get all the way to the bottom and you haven't gotten five dings yet, hey, you're good for the goal. You're good for the day. Okay, that's your accuracy. And the last thing, transitional, is you're putting all those things together where all of a sudden now you're trying to think, now how can I begin to put some emotion into it? Because before I do the things with John chapter 9, you got to smooth it out a little bit. And you may never get to that. And most people will not do what I'm doing. That is perfectly okay to get to this part, the transitional part, where you go, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And here's the key. Pretend you're talking to nobody. But you're talking to get your emotions out, to get that verse into you. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him. And apart from Him, not one thing was made that has... And I'm doing it in the room. But if you've got like Bonnie's place, I can picture that thing in my room just like those first graders. And it's right there. And I'm comfortable with it. God has given us an imagination. He's given us multi-sensory things. Use them. Trust Him. He who comes to God must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Do it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for this time now. Bless these dear people in their hiding Your Word in your heart, but more than that, to listen to story, listen to the wonderful words of truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks for joining us. Joining me. And you're welcome to look at any of these books right here because they have everything to do with the power of one for as far as doing oral tradition, bringing the Word to life like in a church or whatever. And the one thing I was going to mention too is about there are some people who will not ever do anything like I did with John 9. But if you're in some sort of ministry where people read up every Sunday, something like that, to encourage people that this is a part of where they can memorize the verses and they could take that thing and... They only have to look down once in a while just to kind of guide them, but they can read it in a more robust way because they've memorized it and they maybe found some of these little things to be helpful. So the public reading of Scripture, that's sort of that midpoint between knowing it for yourself and blessing people in the middle before you may do it in a more public setting, if you ever do. And that's okay if you don't, because it's the rare person that's going to do that. And we want to hide God's Word in our heart that we might have it for ourselves, minister to others evangelistically and comfort-wise and everything else. So Thank you for coming. You're welcome. I apologize if I ran over a couple of minutes there.
You're fine. You just leave that cable right over there. You
Come
around and hook up to it.
Okay. Well, you've got your own. This is mine. You've got your own hook right there? Okay.
Yeah, if you got a Mac, you got to carry one of those everywhere you go. So.
Yeah,
Here, I'll take care of this. You just take it. Okay. You take your thing there.
Okay.
And I'll take care of
all right,
stuff.
Sounds good. You're welcome. What's your name?
Sheila.
Sheila, nice to meet you.
Yes.
Where do you hail from?
Irving.
Oh, Irving, Texas. You're right here. Okay, cool.
Yes.
Yeah, I...
And I'm working with memorizing.
Cool.
I think that's your...
Oh, thank you. Was that helpful to
it
some
was.
Of those?
Yes.
Just to get a perspective a little bit and try to become a little bit more of a kid again.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes.
So now you can go back and be a kid with the kids.
Be a kid with.
I'm kind of a big kid myself, so that's why a lot of those things come out of me because I. That's. And all I could do was some broad brush strokes That's all I can do in a short session like this. So, but thank you for coming, Sheila.